Attention, attention, postal employees. I need your attention, please. We are interrupting our regularly scheduled podcast on the TSP Millionaire ebook to bring breaking news. The President of the United States has signed H.R. 3076 Postal Reform Bill into law. For the next 3 weeks, our podcast will cover the details of this critical postal reform. Let your friends know, make the phone call to say, this is a podcast you must listen to for the next 3 weeks, especially. It's all about postal reform. Let your friends in the Postal Service know. And now on to our regularly scheduled podcast.
You are listening to the Federal Employee Benefit Coordinators Podcast with President and Founder Elizabeth Inman and co-host Kim Spence Mullen. This podcast provides a variety of topics that affect you as a federal employee. Our mission at Federal Employee Benefit Coordinators is to get to know you and understand your needs, wants, and long-term goals. Now, let's join Elizabeth and Kim.
Do dreams really come true? Every federal and postal employee has asked themselves that question, and especially about the time that they really start thinking about retirement. So our federal employee friends, our postal friends today that are listening, I want you to know a little bit about Elizabeth Inman, who, when you see that this is a Federal Employee Benefit Coordinators podcast, you want to know, can I trust the people behind the microphone? And so I'm representing you as the person who's asking these questions and wants to know more information. And on the other microphone is Elizabeth Inman. And Elizabeth is the founder and president of Federal Employee Benefit Coordinators. And Elizabeth had that very experience that I just mentioned. She sat down at her kitchen table, looked at a mountain of paperwork, and this was all that she needed to fill out to retire from her federal job at the post office. And then suddenly she realized she was not prepared to answer that question. Are my dreams going to come true? And Elizabeth, now here we are, years later. I mean, you can kind of give the timeline of that, but there are friends listening today that when I said that question and asked that question, they are probably in that very same position. Can my dreams come true?
And even more so today, Kim, than when I faced those questions all those years ago because of all of the changes that are taking place. I mean, my goodness, there's legislation out there that is now impacting health insurance that may end up impacting everyone's health insurance if you're a federal or postal. For sure, postal, because H.R. 3076 postal reform just passed. It's just waiting on the presidential signature. Mm-hmm. So yes, I mean, oh my goodness, people are just wondering what's going to be next and, you know, what is in place today. Will it be in place 10 years from now after I've been retired for 10 years? It's just information that everybody needs and needs to stay up on. And we're just at a day and time, Kim, that we have to stay in the know. We can't just let our politicians and our legislature just do whatever they're going to do and think, oh, well, I'm retired. It doesn't matter. It does matter.
Yeah. And, you know, the idea of saying, the information, there's so much information. And yet we also have better access to information than we've ever had before. And yet it still seems like we have less time to access the information. So that's why the benefit of a company that can come alongside you and say, here, we want to help you with this because we know you may not have time to sit and look up all of these bills and look up all this information that's going around. And before we go much further, I want to introduce, we actually have a third host joining us today, and that is Spencer Mullen. And Spencer is also going to be contributing. And Elizabeth, you requested that Spencer join us as we were having a conversation.
Yes, I love to have conversations with these Gen Zers because their brain works so much different than my brain. I like to think of Spencer as a thought leader and certainly a thought leader, but for sure a thought provoker. It makes my brain work in ways. And you know, this generation stays up on this stuff. I mean,
yeah.
If I want to know what the latest is in our Congress, in our Senate, in our political scene, Spencer's one of the ones that I go to. So I thought it would be great as I'm processing through this postal reform, this HR 3076, to have him here to provoke thoughts in a different way than what I might present. So thank you for coming,
You're
Spencer.
Welcome. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
You bet. Thank you.
Well, and I, you know, we'll step back just a quick minute about mm-hmm. your experience and how you got involved in deciding that you wanted to make sure that other people didn't have to struggle like you did.
That's correct. You know, I worked my way up in the Postal Service. I worked in 5 different states. You know, spent 10 years doing some ad hoc details for Washington in their training development center, wrote some or was on the teams to help write curriculum, to train postmasters and to train leaders inside the Postal Service. So I had a very wide variety of opportunities inside the Postal Service. I loved my job. I loved my job from the day I was hired until the last day before I retired. And, you know, probably one of the most positive people about my experience that you'll ever talk to. And yet when it came time to make those decisions, I mean, I decided to do an early retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I took advantage of some opportunities that was in front of me, not knowing that if I had just went ahead and retired like what I thought my plan was, I would have had a 30% penalty on my pension.
Mm.
And so it's very real when you talk about the paperwork laid out on my kitchen table and I'm going through it all and I'm calculating, oh my goodness, how much of a penalty is that? And, you know, how young am I? And what if I defer that instead of taking it? And then, you know, as with all Americans, the number one fear in America about retirement today is that, what if I run out of money? Do I have enough saved for retirement? And then number two is, what happens if something with my health catastrophic happens that also causes me to run out of money? How am I going to afford that? How does my, in my case, federal employee health benefit plan coordinate with Medicare?
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Those are topics that there's never a week that goes by that I don't have people sitting at this very table mm-hmm. asking me, Well, what are my options with Medicare? What should I do with Medicare? How does that work with a federal employee health benefit plan? And now with the postal reform, that was quite frankly probably a very necessary reform.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of the unions, all of the manager associations supported this reform
mm-hmm.
that passed. It brings it front and center because it's now not just federal employee health benefits, but now it's Postal Service health benefit plans. It's creating a whole new health plan system that, as of today, will only cover postal employees. And Kim, I'm sitting here, I almost feel like I did that day when I was filling out my retirement paperwork with all that paper in front of me, because I've got just 10 articles that I chose
mm-hmm.
to come to this podcast with. 10 articles that I printed off that had relevant information about this postal reform. I probably had another dozen or so that I could have brought with me. There's just so much information. And that's how I felt when I got ready to retire is, oh my goodness, I didn't know how all of this worked. I didn't know what kind of decisions I had to make. So I just decided I wanted to do something about that. I knew I was retiring early. I knew I wanted to have a second career. And so I built federal employee benefit coordinators around my experience so that I could get some extra training. I did that a few times. I got certified in federal employee benefits so that I could help people not experience the stress and anxiety that I had when I was getting ready to make my decisions.
Well, anytime you start talking about health benefits, I think that can create stress in people automatically, especially when you're talking about change.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of the idea for this podcast is to say, let's let's unpack it a little bit. Let's lay some of this out, and because knowledge is power.
And I think even too, coming out of a pandemic that we've gone through, health insurance, hospital visits, things like that are in the top of everyone's minds more than ever, making sure that a plan is set out, not just for yourself, but for your family, for your loved ones. So I think this is a perfect time to be talking about this, coming off of the edge of a time where that was really the top conversation going on in the country.
Well, thank you for making my point exactly about why I wanted you on this podcast. Exactly. Oh my goodness. I mean, 2 years, we're still in it. I mean, COVID's not gone. We're still in it.
Yeah.
And then right smack dab after the first 2 years of COVID, a huge reform takes place that's affecting almost 1 million people's health insurance. That's huge.
Yeah. So let's get into it now. We'll dive in. So it's called HR 3076, and it's postal reform. And so you've got the bill sitting here in front of us. I think that's the first time I've ever seen an actual bill printed out. And it's you know, it can be a little daunting. I can only imagine trying to read through that.
You know, I really want this to be a conversation this time and probably with our next podcast, because I'm a retired postal employee. Mm-hmm. I have a second career that I'm working with federal employees and their benefits. I'm not a politician. I'm not a lawyer. Reading this bill, I mean, I'll probably read a portion of it here in a minute that I think will make my point to everybody. I'm not coming on this podcast to present myself in any way except a retired postal employee that now understands that HR 3076 postal reform is sitting on the president's desk waiting to be signed, and the impact that I see that can have for the future of postal employees and postal retirees. And here's the other piece. So if you're listening and you're just a federal employee, you're not a postal employee, and the minute you heard HR 3076 postal reform, you're thinking, oh, I'll check out. This doesn't have anything to do with me. Not so fast. I mean, I've got an article in front of me that the government executive put out that said that it's yet to be determined how this is going to affect all federal employees. It very likely is going to affect all federal employees. But here's the other piece of it. Medicare affects every American or potentially every American age 65 and older. I believe that this reform has the potential to affect everybody because it's going to put more postal employees into the Medicare system than ever before. Mm. And who knows? How can we predict that? I mean, I've read the articles. So did I state already, I'm not an expert. I'm not a politician. I'm not an attorney. Mm-hmm. I'm just on here sharing what I've read and what some of my opinions are. And I'm just trying to share some thoughts so that other people will start thinking this through and making good, solid decisions for themselves based on where we find ourselves. But how is it not going to affect the whole Medicare population if indeed we change the makeup of that population by this reform? They can say they check the actuaries, they've got their samples that they use, but do they really know? I mean, at this point in time, it looks to me like it's anybody's guess.
Well, and I just want to go back to the comment that you made on the idea of saying that you're not a politician, not a lawyer, not to discount yourself from the idea that you have gone through this process, you have experienced this process for yourself, and to the listeners out there to know that they are listening to someone who has the tools to navigate this process in a way that they might not, but that you are the heart and the soul of wanting to help these people as much as possible for the retirement process in a way that not necessarily makes you, you know, an expert at the law, but that you are what the law is affecting an everyday American.
That's right, Spencer. And again, that is exactly why I had you come on, to help guide me, Because my number one thing I want to do is to provoke the thoughts of every postal employee out there, every federal employee out there. And if you happen to be listening and you're neither, and but one of these days, Medicare is either today impacting you or going to be impacting you, to think about what this may imply for the future.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so where do we start, Elizabeth?
Well, let's start in Spencer's expertise. So this is HR 3076. It's not the first attempt or the first stab at this. I think we'll talk about leading up to the bill, and then we'll finish this podcast. And then in our next podcast, we'll actually get into the meat of it. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
So there's been a lot going on in the Postal Service since 2006, when the law was passed mandating them to pre-fund 75 years worth of postal retirees' health benefit plans. It was historic. It had never been done before. It has not been done since. No other company in the world has ever been mandated, nor did they volunteer, to pre-fund retirees' health benefits 75 years out. I mean, it's almost, it feels to me, and it felt to me, because I was working then. I hadn't retired yet. It felt to me as though they set us up for failure. Mm. And then immediately it threw us, when I say us, I'm talking Postal Service, mm-hmm. it threw us into the red every year. Mm-hmm. Not by just a little bit, but by a lot. In years when we were really being way more productive than what those numbers showed, mm-hmm. It made the American public feel like we were just totally failing because of a mandate to pre-fund retirees' health benefits. So I'm not saying that there wasn't waste. I'm not saying that there wasn't some bad decisions made that could have been better, that we could have been more efficient. I mean, an organization that at that time was probably around 700,000 in the number of employees, you can always find ways to improve. There's always room for improvement. But it threw us immediately into a chaotic situation of, oh my gosh, we are going into the red by not just hundreds of dollars or thousands or even millions, but we're going into the red by billions mm-hmm. of dollars. So that went on for a long, long time. It went on clear up until I retired. And then finally, they started drafting some proposals that might get rid of that mandate to pre-fund. For instance, HR 695 was a proposal to get rid of the pre-funding mandate. But finally, HR 3076 picked up some traction. So from the beginning, when they first started proposing these kind of postal reforms, it's changed drastically. But that's always the case. I mean, mm-hmm. always the mm-hmm. case. Even between the House vote and the Senate vote, there was conversation about how much it would change or didn't change. This time it didn't. We actually did vote on, and what was passed was what was proposed. So they didn't add on or, you know, change it in a lot of ways. But anyway, Spencer, you looked up some numbers for me. So correct me if I'm wrong, but it was actually this HR 3076 was introduced to the House. I think you told me May 11th of 2021.
Yes.
That was the first time it was introduced. And then the House actually passed it on February the 8th of 2022, 342 to 92. So that's a pretty big margin, mm-hmm. had a lot of support. And then on March the 8th, the Senate voted and it passed 79 to 19, but there were two that didn't vote.
Right.
But once again, a pretty good margin.
Right.
And then it passed with all of the union support, all of the management association support. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of support for this bill. And again, my sense about that, just as a person drawing a pension, mm-hmm. a FERS pension from her government service, my sense is that there was a feeling of doom and gloom around the Postal Service. Will it even be here anymore if we don't pass some kind of reform? We just can't sustain losses like what we had been, the losses we were having for over a decade, and think that it's going to stay around. So I understand totally that there was a need for this. Now, Oklahoma, by the way, we researched how Oklahoma lawmakers voted on this. I just find that interesting just because we live in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm in Oklahoma doing a podcast. So I want to throw those numbers out. In the House, we had 3 yeses and 2 noes. And then in our Senate here in Oklahoma, we had 1 no and we had 1 who refused to vote or did not vote. I shouldn't say refused. See, that's what you do when you're just talking to somebody off the street here.
It was a not vote.
Not vote. Thank you. A big difference in a refusal and just a not vote could have been a number of reasons why there wasn't a vote. But that's how Oklahoma voted on it. And I don't know about you guys, but that gives me a little bit of insight myself. Mm-hmm. So with next time, yes. Kim, we'll close out today and let's talk about H.R. 3076 postal reform.
Yes. That'll be podcast number 17, by the way. So if you're listening to, which we want you to, every single week when the podcasts upload, first of all, let your friends know, because we want all of your federal and postal friends to be tuning in as we discussed. This really could impact everybody, as you know, in the federal service and federal government. And then we also want you to let your friends know, but then also however you subscribe to podcasts so you can download, it really is the best way because that makes it easy for you to go back and listen. Number 17 is next, and we will continue more in depth about H.R. 3076, the postal reform bill. And I am just so thrilled because, you know, Elizabeth, she can be heard on not only this podcast, but as a guest on others, and of course, various Facebook and YouTube programs. And she speaks at national and state conventions across the country. She is an advocate for federal employees, and her passion is to equip you with tools, data, and information so that once again, as we started this program, you can believe that your dreams really can come true.
Thank you for joining us today. At Federal Employee Benefit Coordinators, we want to help you develop, implement, and monitor a strategy that's designed to address your individual situation. Call us at 833-693-3388 or on the web at febcnow.com.